Okay. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs, chapter 4. Now, last week we began to look at a new topic in relation to wisdom, which is what I've been teaching on all this year. And we started looking at the subject of hearing from God. And the title of my topic, my subject really, it's not so much hearing from God, but tuning in to God. And in this chapter, verse 20, chapter 4, verse 20, we read these words. We read them last week, but I just want to read them again. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now, twice in this verse, we see the same thing. And it's almost as if Solomon is putting an emphasis on this. As he hears God speaking to him. He says, give attention to my words. In other words, what he's saying here, if you look this up in any Hebrew lexicon or dictionary, you'll see it means to listen or pay attention to what is being said. Another way we could describe this is take note or mark well. You know, so take note what is being said. Then he says this. He says, incline your ear to my sayings. And last week I told you that, you know, the meaning of this word incline is to bend. Bend your ear towards. You know, we have a phrase in English which means it's to prick up the ears or to prick back the ears, and this is what the Spirit of God is saying. It, I want you to pin back your ears, listen to what's being said, because there's something important here. My son, he says, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. What he's actually saying here is, be tuned in. Get tuned in to what God has to say. Now, last week I began to tell you a story which I was reminded of as I was thinking about this. The Lord reminded me of a radio I used to have. And this radio was a present that was given to me by my parents when I was just a young boy. I was probably 9 years old, something like that. And this radio was an old-fashioned radio, not a digital one, obviously, because we're going back a few years. But this had a dial on it, which you had to turn and move the needle across the scale and tune in the radio to a station. Now, finding music stations was very easy. And I used to listen to some music stations. That was easy to tune in because, you know, their range was quite broad when you went to the dial. But the real reason for me wanting the radio, and the reason I got the radio, as I shared with you last week, was because I used to live very near to Heathrow Airport. I was an avid plane spotter. I was interested in planes. And one of the things I really wanted to do was be able, like some of my friends did, and I'd seen other people at the airport, was listen into the cockpit. And I used to, but this required very fine tuning. It wasn't a wide range on the didn't have a wide band. But you had to tune this in very finely. And it required precision. It was a little more difficult than finding the radio music stations that I used to listen to. If I was slightly off, I lost the signal and I lost the contact with the aircraft. And it became very, the word I'm going to use, I think it's the proper word for it, very noisy. You know, that static, that hissing noise. And even when it was just off, it could very easily jump and pick up another signal, something I didn't want to receive. And it's the same thing is true when we come to listening to God. You know, our spirit needs to be finely in tune with the Spirit of God. Finely in tune with Him so that we can hear what He is saying to us. Now, as I was just preparing this, thinking about this a few weeks ago, I was scrolling through Facebook. And I don't get all my sermons from Facebook. You can thank God for that. Because some of them perhaps wouldn't be very wholesome. But I was scrolling through Facebook and this quotation appeared on the screen in front of me. And it was this, and I wrote it down. Actually, I think I shared it as well. And it said this: to hear the voice of God, you must turn down the world's volume. To hear the voice of God, you must turn down the world's volume. Because the world will have a lot of noise. There'll be a lot of volume. A lot of people will have things to say. They will offer their opinions. Now, their opinions may be valid. But in order, if we've got to hear the voice of God, we've got to learn to shut those out. Turn them down. Mute them. So that we can focus on listening to what God has to say. Now, we're going to look at a few scriptures tonight in the New Testament. And we're going to go first to Luke's Gospel chapter 10. Luke's Gospel chapter 10, because we're going to see a person in this chapter that really had to learn to tune into God. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to start looking at verse 38. Luke 10, verse 38. You know, it pays to listen to what's being said and to read the words of God and take, you know, none of these words that are in the scriptures are just put in there to fill up space on the page. You know, Jane and I, as a habit, before we start our day, normally we sit down, we pray together, we read the word of God. You know, there are times when we haven't read the word, almost we have that feeling that we've not really heard anything from God, because it feels like some of the things we've been reading, especially when there's a whole list of genealogy, we think, well, we could be forgiven, I suppose, for thinking, well, this chapter in the Bible is just filling up space. But no word ever fills up space in the scriptures. Every word is important. Whether we understand it or not, it's important. And that's key. We've got to believe that when we approach the Word of God. Now, here's a lady in verse 38. It says, it happened as they, now this is talking about Jesus and his disciples, that as they went, that he, Jesus, entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Here is a lady that has invited Jesus to come to her home. She's welcomed him in. Now, if you know your Bibles, you'll know, actually know this family, of which Martha is one of them, was a very close bonded family with Jesus. Whenever Jesus was in the area, he would call in on his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And here, there's no mention of Lazarus. So maybe Lazarus has already died. We know he did die, and then Jesus raised him back from the dead. But here we see Martha welcomes Jesus into her house. And the Bible goes on to tell us a little bit of information in verse 39. It says that she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So I want you to get this picture. Martha invites Jesus into the house. Mary, her sister, it tells us in verse 39, sat at his feet and listened to him teach. But verse 40 says, Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, it says here, do you not? I prefer to say, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Now, before we read on, let's just look at this scene. Jesus had been invited into the house by Martha. Now, he was in the house and he was speaking. He was teaching. He was opening his heart. He was opening the scriptures, talking to them, teaching them. But do you notice, not everybody was listening. The one person who invited him into her house was not tuned in to what he was saying. Martha. She was, and the Bible uses this word, I want you to look at it. She was distracted by much serving, or by many things, Jesus went on to say. Much serving. What was she doing? She was busy. There were things that were occupying her mind. She wasn't doing anything necessarily wrong. She was preparing probably a meal for her guest. She was busy in the kitchen. She could see there was work to be done. She could also see that her sister Mary wasn't lifting a finger, or she wasn't doing anything to help serve Jesus, their guest. And I can just picture Martha here. You know, she's busily working away, doing what's necessary, perhaps kneading the dough to baking the bread, and whatever she's doing in the house, preparing for this meal. And every now and again, you know, she would glance over at her sister Mary, almost to get her attention, and perhaps she'd be going, psst, psst, Mary, psst. And she's trying to get Mary's attention. And Mary, she's locked everything out. She's listening to what Jesus is saying. You know, Martha carries on, and you know, she keeps seeing her sister there doing, I'm going to use a word, nothing. Now, she wasn't doing nothing, but she was doing something very important. But in her opinion, she's sitting there doing nothing. She's busy. She's doing all the work. And in the end, she goes into the place, she goes to where Jesus is, and she confronts Jesus and she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister, and you can imagine she's pointing her finger at her now, that my sister here is doing nothing, she's left me to do all the work, I'm on my own, she's not helping, she's not doing anything. And Jesus responds to that. She says, tell her to help me. Tell her to get out into the kitchen and do something. There's There's things to do. There's things to prepare. Things have got to be cut. Things have got to be sliced. The sandwiches have got to be made. You know, she should have put the kettle on by now, and all she's done is set it. She's busy. She's distracted with all these things that are going on. And Jesus responds to her. And this is verse 41. Now, you know you're in trouble when the Lord uses your name twice. Jesus answers and says to her, look, he says, Martha, Martha. At this point, you know, things, your hair stands up on end when you hear your name twice. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. In other words, you've got many things on your mind. What was happening? All these things that were going on around the work, the preparation for the meal, maybe the cleaning, maybe there was washing up that needed to be done as well. All these things were done, and the volume of all these things was loud, and this was taking over Martha's concentration. The noise of these things was drowning out the sound of Jesus' voice. Drowning out the voice of God. Now, I know it's a well-known fact, and that they tell us that women are very good at multitasking and they can do more than one thing at once. You know, it's not good. It's not good to have many things on your mind. Because many things cause you to become distracted. You cannot give, forgive me, ladies, you cannot give your full attention to more than one thing. You can only give your full attention to one thing. If your attention is divided, if it's divided between many things. And when your attention is divided and you become distracted, your attention is diverted from what is necessary. In this case, Martha was so busy doing all the things she considered necessary to do, but they just diverted her attention away from the one thing that was absolutely necessary. And that's what Jesus went on to say to her. He said, look in verse 42. He says, look, verse 41. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Now, Mary chose one thing. Martha was distracted with many things. Now, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, we're not going to go to it right now, we'll go to it in a moment. But in Matthew 6, verse 24, we read a statement that Jesus made, and it was this. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve. Now, in the context of what he was saying, is you cannot serve mammon and God. You cannot do it. You cannot have these two masters. Those of you that... And I know it's quite a common thing here in Malta. Those of you that have more than one job, how difficult is it? Just think about it. If you need to take time off work, how difficult is it to actually arrange with both employers that you need to take a day off? Because it might be okay with one, but not with the other. Or if you're at one place and they ask you to stay on, or they put the pressure on you to do an extra few hours, but you know you can't really do that because you've got another job to go to, and then you feel the pressure, or you feel they make you feel like you're letting them down, and you cannot serve two masters. And when Jesus said this, he went on to say in that same chapter, just a few verses after, he was talking about all the things that occupy your mind with worry. Things like what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to drink. All those sorts of things. He says, why worry about all these things? He says, consider the birds of the air. Consider the flowers of the field. So what's he telling us? Not to worry about these things. Not to have these things on our mind. Not to allow them space in the storerooms of our brain. Because this word worry, the literal meaning of this word is to choke. And that's what worry does. It chokes the life out of us. Now, worry, and the scripture says this, it's again in Matthew 6, and actually the King James Version puts it like this. It says, take no anxious thought. That's what worry is, taking an anxious thought. Worrying about the cares of life. You know, being harassed and vexed and troubled, because that's what worry does. It harasses our mind. Actually, the word worry really means to be double-minded. It's like doubt. Because when you're worried, you're having these thoughts, and you know what, you think about one thing, then you're thinking about something else, and you're worrying about these things. And Jesus told Martha in this scripture that she was worried and troubled about many things. She's got many things going on in her mind. She was taking anxious thought about the food, the drink, you know, the preparation. All these things. They were troubling her, they were harassing her, until she had to go in and confront Jesus and ask him to do something about it. And actually Jesus said he's not going to do that. He said, that's not going to be taken away from Mary. She's chosen the one thing that is needed, that's necessary. You know what Martha's issue was here? That she was just tuned in to the wrong station. She wasn't listening to... She invited Jesus into her house. You'd have thought she would have wanted to sit and listen to what he had to say. But she was tuned in to another station. She was listening to Worry FM. This shouldn't surprise you that you can't focus on more than one thing. Because if you look at the camera, I was with a friend a few years ago who was in Ghana in Africa. And this was our last morning there before we were due to take their ride to the airport and come home. And we decided, because it's our last morning, we packed our bags, we were ready to go. We'd take a walk down onto the beach near where we were staying. And he got his camera out because he wanted to take some shots. And I was with him. And he wanted to take this picture of this boat that was in the sea, moored up. It was tied to the shore. And he got his camera on the boat. And he took a really nice photograph of the boat. But that's all he got in the shot. Everything else around the edges was blurred. And then he pulled the focus back and he focused on the rope that was holding the boat. And the boat then was out of focus. And this is the way it is. If we focus on one thing, everything else becomes unclear. If we try and focus on more than one thing, everything becomes unclear. And if we're going to hear from God, we've got to be tuned in properly to what he is saying. Now, in the scripture, when Jesus responds to Martha, he says, Martha, Martha, he says, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. I just want you to, if you haven't done so, you don't have it, underline that statement, one thing, or highlight it, or do something, or mark it, because one thing, that's simple. Focused on one thing. One thing is needed. Luke 10:42. One thing is needed. Jesus was in the house. Jesus was teaching. Now, I'm sure it wasn't a big house. This isn't going to be something that's multi-story. It wasn't that Martha was on the top floor, six stories up, and Jesus was down the bottom. This is probably just a small house, two or three rooms at maximum, maybe even one room. Jesus was in there, speaking, teaching. His disciples were around him. Mary was there listening to what he had to say. Mary was focused. She didn't hear the promptings of her sister when Martha was calling out, Mary, Mary. And the, I don't know whether Martha did this, but trying to get Mary's attention, you know, she gets the cup and bangs it down a little hard. Just to try and get Mary to look around and say, no, what are you doing, Martha? No, I imagine she tried all that, trying to get this her sister's attention. But Mary was focused. She was tuned in to what Jesus was saying. She had the one thing. She was single-minded. She had one thing on her mind, hearing what Jesus had to say. She had chosen that. That was her choice. Now, Mary was listening to a completely different station to Martha. You know, she was tuned in. Martha was listening to something else that was going on. She was listening to the worldly volume, let's put it like that, that was playing loud in her mind. And what Jesus said here, he said, look, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen that good part. Jesus telling Martha, he says, look, what she needs to do, rather than be worried and troubled about these many things, says, turn down the world's volume. Tune in to the voice of God. Tune in to what I'm saying. Because that's what Mary had done. Because we read it, didn't we, in verse 39. Martha had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She sat at his feet and heard his word.
You think Jesus wasn't bothered about whether they had any food or not?
I don't think he was. That wasn't important, was it? And we too, it's our choice. We have to choose to tune in. It's so easy to just let the signal go and carry on listening to the music that the world's playing. Now, I'm not talking about listening to worldly music, but all these things that they say, all the opinions, all the advice that the world will offer us.
I suppose Martha played an important part in welcoming Jesus into the body.
Worrying about the
food. But at that moment, she probably wasn't worrying about the food. She was just welcoming him into her home, which she played a very important part. Because if she hadn't welcomed him, then Jesus wouldn't have been there, would he?
No.
So I think we've got to be careful that we don't.
Yeah. I think as women, we would all sort of step in and naturally want to prepare the things for the guests.
Yes. I think I would have been, you know,
where do you draw the line?
Yes, I think I would have said, you know, Martha, come and listen before I'm there, yeah. We'll help you with the meal. We'll all do it together.
That would have been ideal.
That would have been.
This was Mary's choice. She chose to do that. Martha chose to do what she did. And what I say, we've got to make the choice. We mustn't allow distractions to divide our attention and our focus, especially when it comes, because this is what we're talking about, is hearing from God. Because we can be so, we can think we're tuned in and actually be tuned into the wrong station. We can be listening to ourselves. We can be listening to what other people say. I want you to, let's go to Matthew 6, because there's a scripture here. We're going to look at. I've already quoted Matthew 6. We read verse 24. Or I quoted verse 24. Where Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. It's serving God and serving material. But that statement that Jesus made, where he says no one can serve two masters, came after something else he said. And it's these two verses we're going to just spend a few minutes looking at. Verses 22 and 23. Now in verse 22 he says this. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then he makes this statement. He says, no one can serve two masters. Because either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. And then he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. And then he proceeds to go on talking about what we said about worrying and giving our thoughts and our attention as to what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. But this verse 22 says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Now, Jane, you've got King James. Can you read the King James verse 22?
The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be healthy, thy whole body shall be full of light.
Okay, so you've got healthy. Larry, you've got King James?
Yes.
What does yours say? Healthy?
Single.
I don't know why you got different. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single. Now this word single, yes, it could be translated as healthy. It could be translated as clean. The word that they use, or that the writer uses here, is a Greek word which has the meaning simple, single, whole, or clear. And the idea is that your eye is free from any obstruction. Because if you've got an obstruction in front of your eye, the light won't get in. And he's saying, if your eye is clean, if your eye is clear, if your eye is single, there's no obstructions, your whole body will be full of light. And then he goes on in verse 23, he says, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Now this word has the primary meaning. Now it can be translated bad or evil or wicked, but the primary meaning of this word, if you look in According to Joseph Thayer in his Greek dictionary, his Greek definitions, the primary meaning of the word evil or bad here is to be full of labor, annoyances or hardships. Full of labors, annoyances or hardships. And what are labors, annoyances, hardships? They're distractions. It's the many things that Martha was busy with. So he says, if your eye is evil, or if your eye is bad, if your eye is unobstructed, if it's single, if it's clear, if it's healthy, then everything, you'll be full of light. But if there's these obstructions, these annoyances, these hardships, these labors, then you're full of darkness. The light that's in you will be darkness, it says. The light that's in you will be darkness. The little that you have won't be effective. Having a single or clear focus brings light. It brings revelation. It brings, you can hear what God is saying. It's like tuning in, getting it finely tuned. And we'll be in that position where we receive or we hear from God. Anything else is a distraction. And Mary had chosen that part. You know, she chose to sit and listen to Jesus. Now, we can make that choice. You know, all we've got to do is turn the antenna towards heaven. Turn the antenna towards God. Tune in on the dial. Listen to what he has to say to us. And, you know, we will hear what he has to say. You know, Paul said something very similar. We're not going to take the time tonight to look at it. But he talked about when he was running his race. If you remember in Philippians, he says this. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I don't count myself to have arrived. He says, but one thing I do. You know what he says? He says, I forget what's behind and I press towards. What's he pressing towards? The finish line. I remember hearing an interview with the great Roger Bannister. Now, Roger Bannister has always been a favourite athlete of mine. Maybe many of you have never even heard of him. But he was the first man to break the mile in less than 4 minutes. And he did that on, I've got to get the date right, I think it was the 4th of May 1954 in Oxford in England at the Ilkley Road running track, athletics ground. Now this athlete, he was interviewed, you know, how great it was, now how did you do it, you know, you're the first man to break this 4 minute mile. Now many have done it less than 4 minutes now, but he says, the one thing I did, my eyes were on the finish line. Yes, there was training, yeah, we're not denying all the training that went into it. But he said when he was running, there was one thing on his mind. It wasn't so much the person who's coming up behind him. It was not the other athletes that are running with him. There's one thing on his mind, and that's to get to the line. He was focused.
I have one example. John 4:27.
John 4:27.
I don't know how to read English, so you probably read it. John 4:27. 4:31. 4:31. 4:31. 4:32. 3 and 4. It's a good example, I think.
John 4:31. 31, 32, 33, 4. Yes, and there's a... He's focused on doing Jesus is focused on doing the will of his Father. And he's... they brought him something to eat. No, he didn't want to eat. He wanted to...
Oh, wow.
He wanted to... He had work to do. And the disciples thought he'd already eaten. Somebody had already fed him. But no, Jesus was determined. Focused. That's how he went to the cross, focused.
Have you ever tried to work with somebody who's so laid back it drives you up the wall?
I have.
Yeah, you know, this is not a teaching to lack of commitment, is it? You know,
I think it's
priorities. Yeah.
I think that's it. Because what Mary was doing was legitimate tasks, but at the wrong time. The timing was wrong.
Yeah.
Putting God first, and then seeing to all the other things that are in our lives.
Yeah. You see, Paul, you cited Paul. Paul was one of the most industrious men that ever was a Christian minister. Wouldn't he? But what you're saying is get your message, get your vision, and work it out.
And that's how Jesus finished in that great sermon on the mount that he taught, when he's talking about worry, talking about being focused. He finishes off, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, tune in. Get tuned in, then everything falls into place. And we'll leave it there because that's my time up. Amen.
Can I just add a comment to that last verse about Mary and Martha? I already made a note in my Bible, in my review, that we should listen more and speak less on that verse.
Yeah.
To, as we say, be tuned in.
Yes.
Yeah.